Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on Christian Sentinel Radio, which is also on Blog Talk Radio. And we have our own YouTube channel for I don't know how long, because YouTube is getting ridiculous with their censorship. So anyway, it's there, and it's under my name, Susan Puzio. We have a website, propheticnews.com, and don't forget our new book. Both of my books are available on Amazon, and my new book is about Paula White, Heretic in the White House, how the miracle selling huckster that became the spiritual advisor to the world's most powerful man. How did that happen? Maybe that's why. One of the reasons that President Trump is in so much trouble. Imagine getting counsel from Paula White. Anyway, that book is there, and Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? They're available on the international markets too. So that's that. And we wonder, there's so many crazy things going on in the world today. Oh my, we are in the prophetic news, and we're seeing things happen right before our eyes. I think that so many of us wouldn't think that happened. Now, yesterday, I was going over to look at an article, and the story was this nurse that when she got the coronavirus vaccine, she was standing up and she was talking about how great it was in so many words of that they were getting this vaccination. Then about 10 seconds later, she's dropping to the floor. So, of course, people didn't know what happened, but apparently she was having a reaction to the vaccine. So I click on the link, and it takes you to Twitter. And, you know, Twitter wouldn't let you see this. They wouldn't let you look at the video. Like, what is wrong with you? So it's getting crazy. If you can't even say a legitimate story about somebody having an adverse reaction to this vaccine, what in the world is going on? So anyway, let me bring on my guest today, Jackie.
Hello there, Susan.
Okay, sounds coming in loud and clear, 10-4.
10-4, after a lot of complications trying to connect.
You never know what's going to happen. It's probably that, the New World Order.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm coming against them.
Yeah, it's a demonic conspiracy. Anyway, I did get a message from somebody this week about getting into the chat room. So let me briefly tell people, if you want to come and join the chat room, you have to go to blogtalkradio.com and sign up. And that's the way they do it. So I have nothing to do with that. But you sign up, and then you can get into the chat room. So that's how you do it. But anyway, Jackie, today we're going to talk about humanism and the Catholic Church. And I found it so ironic that the Pope Francis has hooked up with Mrs. Lynn D. Rothschild, and one of the richest women in the world, I guess. Her husband is a member of the British Rothschild family, and they're going to solve the world's problems. But I find it so ironic that they're out to help people. And the man that's out to help people, the Pope, has a palace that has over 11,000 rooms. And you can imagine, too, how they have a big estate there near Ascot in England, the Rothschilds. And so they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you how to help distribute the world's wealth.
Yeah, well, that's the Great Reset. They, you know, and those are the same people who have always been associated with the New World Order, and everybody who has, you know, talked about this in the last 50 years or so have been called conspiracy theorists. But now they decided to come out of their collective conspiracy closet, and you know, and so they're making their entry into the world scene now, thanks to the coronavirus reset. That, you know, again, it's getting everybody ready to end the power of America and the power of the dollar, and to have a new electronic money system, and to redistribute the wealth, and to destroy fake rights to private property and such things, so that everybody can share the world.
Well, I want to see them start giving up some of their wealth. There was somebody, I can't remember the man's name, but anyway, he was on with Tucker Carlson last night and the night before. He's a fairly wealthy man, not one of the richest of the rich, but he's decided that he's going to start bailing people out, business people, that helping them pay their staff to stay in business, which the government and many other people should be doing. And Tucker asked him, well, why don't you think that Jeff Bezos should contribute, since he's worth like one of the richest men in the world? And so I noticed that they're not so quick to part with their own money. Even when you go to Whole Foods and you're checking out, they ask if you want to make a donation to charity. I'm like, I said to the cashier, no offense to you, but this is one of the richest men in the world, and you're asking me for a donation?
Yeah, well, you know, this is all, I think the poor, they really don't care much about the poor when they're causing everybody not to be able to work. And the ones who are suffering the most are the poor.
Yeah.
And so the starvation, they're expecting, you know, some couple of million people around the world to die of starvation because they can't work. So they care a lot about the poor?
No, I don't think so. And then they're rolling out this vaccine that, please. And then the worst one is the one with the aborted baby tissue in it, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and some of the other ones. And you can find this information on their website. So like I said, if you want the documentation, I will send it to you. So never mind what they're getting ready to do. Remember what happened to the cows when they were putting other animal parts in the cow feed. And of course, cows don't eat animals. And so they were getting this brain disease. So humans don't eat people either.
Wow.
Isn't
that amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well,
they care,
a lot
they care.
A lot of things are culminating. I remember years ago, I don't know how long ago that was, 20 years ago or so. Remember that song, We Are the World, and all those singing celebrities got together and they had Hands Across America or whatever.
Yeah.
I was just looking at the We Are the World lyrics, and it doesn't say what year this is, but it has to be at least 20 years old. Yeah, Michael Jackson headed that up.
Yeah.
Let me see what year that was. Oh, I don't know if they even say, but like some of the lines from that look like it's reading right out of the Humanist Manifesto. And, you know, we can talk about that later, but it's not saying. But the Humanist Manifesto was, you know, back from 1933 and was endorsed mainly by Unitarians and Universalists, so-called Christians. But, you know, it's evolved over the past 70-some years. No, more than 70. What am I saying? 1933, boy, that's almost, what is that? That's almost 90 years old. Any, I guess if you were born in 1933, how old would you be? Somebody do the math. But it's all the hypocrisy. It's like they tell us to do one thing and they do another.
Yeah.
They say they want to save the children and they're killing them by the scores.
Yeah.
And let me read some of the lyrics of We Are the World.
Including the people that are running our government.
Yeah. Now, We Are the World was co-written between Michael Jackson and, what's his name? The lead singer of the Commodores.
Oh, yeah.
What was his name? I can't remember. Okay, listen to some of these lines. We can't go on pretending day by day that someone, somewhere, soon make a change. We're all a part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need. And of course, that's quoting John Lennon, love is all you need.
And
here's the chorus. We are the world, we are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's start giving. There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's time we make a better day, just you and me. Well, you know what? They had a problem. They didn't know how to rhyme. I think you have a song.
What does that matter?
Yeah, I know. You have a song that doesn't rhyme.
As long as you have all those faces there, all those familiar, popular faces.
Oh, yeah, tons of them.
It doesn't matter if it rhymes.
All of them. Bruce Springsteen. I'm trying to see these crazy lyrics, but it really does come. This comes right out of the Humanist Manifesto, is that, you know, that somehow everybody's going to have a piece of the world and there's going to be nobody left out and nobody above anybody else.
Except if you don't agree with them.
Yeah. And so, right. Well, that's just it, because something that the New Age movement has always taught is there's going to be those who won't let go of the old way of thinking. And those are the ones that are holding back the progress for the rest of us. Okay?
Yes, that's it. I have a couple clips actually from the Humanist Manifesto. Whenever you want to get into that, if you want me to play this.
Why don't we? And we can talk about, you know, who endorsed that. But go ahead, play it.
Yeah, let me find it here. This print is so small.
Yeah.
I remember the days when I could read the smallest print Bible that ever existed. Okay, here we go. This is the humanist talking.
Absolute morality, but I think that secular humanist manifesto is a very good attempt, and I think it's going to be the closest thing to absolute morality, although it's not absolute in the sense that it's potentially flawed.
Does it give any instances of saying this behavior good, this behavior bad?
It's not like a commandment sort of thing. It's more of a values and such. What we can do is I can read a little bit about what it's about. This is kind of a summary of it. Secular humanism is a term which has come to use in the last 30 years to describe a worldview with the following elements and principles: a conviction that dogmas, ideologies, traditions, whether religious, political, or social, must be weighed and tested by each individual and not simply accepted on faith. So this is the whole reason, examine things in the light of reason.
Okay.
That commitment to use of critical reason, factual evidence, and scientific methods of inquiry rather than faith and mysticism in seeking solutions to human problems and answers to important questions.
Okay.
So we buy into that definitely, since we're atheists. A primary concern with fulfillment, growth, and creativity for both the individual and humankind in general. So this is achieving human potential both as individuals and a consistent search for objective truth with the understanding that new knowledge and experience constantly alter our imperfect perception of it. So this is this evolving knowledge idea. We don't know everything now. We might know more in the future. A concern for this life and a commitment to making it meaningful through better understanding of ourselves and our history, our intellectual and artistic achievements, and the outlooks of those who differ from us. Two more here. a search for viable individual social and political principles of ethical conduct, judging them on their ability to enhance human well-being and individual responsibility. So personal responsibility is a big one. So we get some themes here, but not commandments.
Yeah.
Okay. A conviction that with reason, an open marketplace of ideas, goodwill, and tolerance, progress can be made in building a better world for ourselves and our children.
Okay. All right.
So this is a little capsule sort of summary of what secular humanism is about.
It kind of tilts it more of a, this is a process of gaining knowledge.
Yeah.
Versus.
Yeah. It's much like the scientific method.
Which
right?
is where morality has to be. It's a search for the best way to handle any given situation. There is no commandment that you can finally arrive at, I can imagine, where you could say, in this situation, this behavior is always bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or this behavior is always good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think...
They sound like they're confused.
Well, they are pretty confused. But, you know, I think the main thing about the Humanist Manifesto, the 1, 2, and 3, because they keep evolving a bit, is they're not talking about the take over the world part of it. Such as, let's see, this is Humanist Manifesto number 2, and their 12th, they have, 17 or so lists of what they want to accomplish. And number 12 says, we deplore the division of humankind on nationalistic grounds. We have reached a turning point in human history where the best option is to transcend the limits of national sovereignty and to move toward the building of a world community in which all sectors of the human family can participate. And then when you come down to 14, it says the world community must engage in cooperative.
When's the last time you heard Pope Francis say anything about the need?
Let's see, we'll get to Pope Francis. Let's see. The world community must engage in cooperative planning concerning the use of rapidly depleting resources. The planet Earth must be considered a single ecosystem. And so they want, again, this is all the way, this one is from 1973, and they want a control of the globe. Let's see, who's going to rule this? Let's see. The problems of economic growth and development can no longer be resolved by one nation alone. They are worldwide in scope. It is a moral obligation of the developed nations to provide, through an international authority that safeguards human rights, and they need to safeguard technological, agriculture, medical, economic assistance, including birth control techniques.
Wow.
And, as he hints, extreme disproportions in wealth, income, and economic growth should be reduced on a worldwide basis. You know, this was back in 1973 that this was written. This is what we're seeing now. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, they've been very patient.
And the 16th one says technology is a vital key to human progress and development. And throughout this whole thing, they deplore any setting of morals by any religious institution or any religion, and that the center of our religious viewpoints need to be on man and not on God. And that's why it's called humanism. Now you might want to play that next clip, because, see, this is what the Pope has fallen into. Especially in the past, when Pope Francis has made such declarations, such as when he said he's not going to judge the gay community, you know, that's not his job, and even atheists can go to hell if they're people of goodwill. He has led up over the past several years of his pontificate into guiding everybody into all religions are good. And they're all, God has spoken to everybody around the planet, no matter what religion they're of, in the same way. So we all have a little piece of the whole. And so this is why so many, should I call them traditionalist Catholics, are in an uproar over this, because it is denying the Catholic Church being the one true church established by Jesus, which is what the people living on Fantasy Island want to believe that. And so But at the same time, it's one falsehood, trading one falsehood in for another falsehood. The falsehood that they're the one true church, and now they're replacing that with the falsehood of pantheism, that we're all part of God, the brotherhood of man, and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So it's all culminating right now, and everybody's coming out in the open.
Yeah, they're coming out in the open, and it's interesting that you're saying that, because I do have a clip here about that exact thing that comes from a so-called bishop of the Catholic Church. Well, here's what they believe.
The Catholic Church, the one true church. I have a problem with that. Yeah, a lot of people do. It annoys people who think that it means, you know, we're right, everybody else is wrong. But that really isn't the Catholic view. We would say that the Catholic Church has the fullness of truth. We have all the gifts that Christ wanted to give his people. Doesn't mean for a second there aren't many other gifts that are distributed all over the place. In other Christian religions, in the Jewish religion, in the Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist religions, those can be reflective of the fullness of truth that you can find in Catholicism. So Vatican II, for example, said that non-Christians can be saved. Even people, even atheists of goodwill can be saved. Someone who's following his or her conscience sincerely and honestly can be saved. Now, it doesn't mean, well, aren't we all the same now? It means the Catholic Church has the fullness of what God wanted to reveal to his people. And so we have all the gifts that make salvation available to us. But there are participations in this truth all over the place. It's not simply right and wrong. It's fullness versus varying degrees of participation. That's a better way to put it.
Now, wait. I'm going to play this next clip. I want you to, and then we'll talk about how this all fits in.
All right.
What do you think is the future of Christianity? I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
This is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
There is. There definitely is.
And that was Billy Graham and Robert Shuler.
Yeah, that's a famous clip. And when you think about it, so many people followed his, you know, Billy Graham's lead on this. And, you know, it's really, oh, I don't know, all kinds of people like, you know, John Piper and, you know, on one end of the spectrum. And then you've got James Robison and Copeland and John Arnott and the Charismaniacs on another. And they're all, you know, Bill, Pat Robertson. He's a big one. The Crouches, they all followed his example. Billy Graham affected all of the church, okay, to accept the popes. And, you know, and to this day now, the latest pope has gotten more heretical and crazy. You're not hearing as much cheerleading right now about Pope Francis, especially when he has people who are Catholics who are exposing his evils. Now, all of a sudden, I don't know, Robeson and Copeland and some of these guys all of a sudden got kind of quiet when back in, what was it, 2014, when the Pope sent that message, you know, that, oh, there's, you know, the Reformation is over,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
Tony
sure.
Palmer and all those guys,
yeah,
and they were rah-rah-rahing the Pope.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're not seeing as much of that right now. Now the Pope has turned his attention kind of sort of away from evangelicals, because I think he felt he already conquered that mountain.
Yeah.
and so now he's going to the wealthy, the you know, the Illuminati types, like the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Soros and all of these guys. Now, you know, So he thinks he's conquered his seven mountains, you know, and the man who lives on seven hills has conquered his seven mountains.
Yeah, the man has got 11,000 room palace. Oh, and he's taking up offerings for the poor. We have to consider the poor. A man that lives in a 11,000 room palace. This is how ironic and how stupid this whole thing is. It's so ridiculous because you could see, like, they say one thing, and yet they live a totally different way. They don't practice what they preach at all.
No, and the thing that really got the Catholics, the catechism Catholics, what can I call it? The ones who believe in the Catholic catechism, those guys. I guess you could call them the faithful Catholics. They are all in an uproar, as you can see. And I'm sure you've got some clips from some of them.
Yeah,
but what happened is, Francis, let's see, this was September, it started out September 12, 2019. You can look it up on YouTube. It's titled Pope Francis Launches Global Educational Alliance. And he gave this message, let's see, it's not too long. I don't want to read all of it, but he starts out, dear brothers and sisters, in my encyclical, Laudato Si, I invited everyone to cooperate in caring for our common home and to confront together the challenges that we face. Now, a few years later, I renew my invitation to dialogue on how we are shaping the future of our planet and the need to employ the talents of all, since all change requires an educational process aimed at developing a new universal solidarity and a more welcoming society. Does that sound like something a Christian so-called leader talks about?
No.
He says, he continues, to this end, I wish to endorse a global event to take place on May 14th, 2020 on the theme, Reinventing the Global Compact on Education. Now, I believe it ended up going through, but everybody zoomed in their statements and everything.
Yeah.
And let's see, he says, this meeting will rekindle our dedication for and with young people, renewing our passion for a more open and inclusive education. When you hear inclusive, what is that?
That's the big word now. except we won't be included, the remnant church.
No, we won't
be included.
Really?
Yeah, really.
And he says, never before has there been such need to unite our efforts in a broad educational alliance to form mature individuals capable of overcoming division and antagonism and to restore the fabric of relationships for the sake of a more fraternal humanity.
That's a pipe dream, because there's not going to be any peace on earth until the Prince of Peace returns. So, what does the Bible matter? That doesn't matter. They're going to bring peace to the earth. They're going to unite all people. It sounds like what's going on with the people that are getting ready to take over our government. Same. We're going to unite, and everybody's going to be one, and we're all going to love each other.
Right. In fact, listen to this statement, and you'll see just how what you said is so true, okay? He says, every change calls for an educational process that involves everyone. There is thus a need to create an educational village in which all people, according to their respective roles, share the task of forming a network of open human relationships. He says, according to African proverb, it takes a whole village to educate a child.
Sounds familiar.
We have to create a village we can educate. And so he says, in the first place, the ground must be cleared of discrimination and fraternity must be allowed to flourish. As I stated in the document that I signed with the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar. In Abu Dhabi.
What are you talking about? Because even on Facebook, you have friends, but if you talk about a certain politician, they say, if you talk about that politician, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. And these are Christians. So how
yeah,
do you
but remember the book? It Takes a Global Village.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
How do they think this is going to work?
Yeah, and that's Hillary Clinton. And so now they've got. Now I understand that if Biden does succeed in getting inaugurated, that he's putting Hillary Clinton on his cabinet.
Oh, yeah, he'll put Hillary Clinton. Well,
because
going to
it takes
recycle.
A global village. That's her whole thing. So now she can fulfill her what she thinks is her purpose in life, I suppose. I wonder if I can imagine. In fact, I think he put a man in drag as the head of the Education Association or that part
what?
Of the cabinet. Well, I say a man in drag because you know what they would call him. It would be the T in LGBT.
Oh,
right? Okay.
Yeah.
But that's no woman. So
no.
I don't even honor them with calling them trans. I refer to them as, you know, men in drag.
Oh, unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But let's listen to this clip by what's his first name, Jackie?
Oh, you mean Michael Mann.
Yeah, Michael Mann. Okay, here's a clip from him. He's a Catholic.
When's the last time you heard Pope Francis say anything about the need for people to be Catholic in order to be saved? No, he says just the opposite. Who am I to judge? God is not Catholic. It's just the opposite of any sort of urgency. You must belong to Christ, to the flock, in order to save your soul. That no longer is the message of the Catholic Church. And they have their accomplices now all around the world. United Religions Initiative, URI. The thing that Bergoglio was celebrating back in 2007. This is an interfaith movement. Catholic Church is involved with this. It's got over 200 chapters, and it works closely, of course, with the usual suspects, the United Nations and company. It's funded, of course, by George Soros and by Bill Gates. You see, it's all one. So you think it's a coincidence that Jeffrey Sachs and the Sustainable Development crowd have been waltzing in and out of the Vatican since Francis got in? Of course not. They're all on the same page, you see? And why are they on the same page? Because they're establishing a utopia. The idea now is not about the four last things. It's not about heaven and hell. It's about utopia here on earth. Don't you see? And that utopia, that idea of the brotherhood of man, the Freemasonic idea of liberty, equality, fraternity for all, so that we can create this grand brotherhood of man, has nothing to do with Jesus Christ or his church. And that, friends, is the nature, the diabolical nature of the revolution in the church that we're going through right now.
Oh, wow.
Okay, we correction on his name. That's Michael Matt.
Oh, okay, Michael Matt. Yeah.
Michael Matt. He's the editor of the Remnant newspaper. And the Remnant newspaper is a renegade Catholic pre-Vatican II group that started after the Vatican II changes started coming into the church starting in 1965. And so there's this whole group of Catholics that will only be involved in the Latin Mass, and they do not accept any popes or any decrees out of the Vatican except for prior to Vatican II. And so he's on that bandwagon.
Oh, yeah, well, that's odd because, of course, we were both raised Catholic, and we both got out of it when we were around 12, so thank you, Jesus. But anyway, yeah, because when we were Catholic, there was no other church, and nobody else mm-hmm. could be saved unless you were Catholic. And they might deny that, but, of course, it's in their catechism, I believe. It's also in the Vatican II papers. It does state in there that there's no salvation outside of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and yet they hold the keys. So they can let anybody in they want because they hold the keys to Peter's keys. So what they say goes. What we shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So they start bounding all kinds of things and making all kinds of declarations. And no matter what it is, no matter how contradictory to scripture or anything else, because they affirmed it here, then God backs it in heaven.
Yeah,
that's the mentality.
Yeah, it's all coming together really when we see the signs of the times, and it's not a good time to disobey God. Let me tell you, we better stay close to the Lord and stay in his word, because there's so many deceivers out there. And of course, at a time when people are hurting so bad, that's a good time for them to indoctrinate people.
Yeah, you know, I'm on this topic. I'd like to read a paragraph from chapter 16 of Taylor Marshall's book, Infiltration. The co-title is The Plot to Destroy the Church from Within. And the foreword was written by Bishop Athanasius Schneider, and he's another one within the Catholic Church that are trying to stand against these modernist so-called things that have come in. But I found this one interesting because you'll remember Pope John the 23rd. He was the Pope when I was a kid. So
yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. We're just a few years apart. But anyway, this is what this kind of summarizes what we were just talking about, Vatican II. Taylor writes, Pope John the 23rd opened the Second Vatican Council on October 11th, 1962, saying, quote, the prophets of doom always talk as though the present, in comparison to the past, is becoming worse and worse. But I see mankind as entering upon a new order and perceive in this a divine plan. It's worth, oh, that's unquote. Okay, now Taylor writes, it's worth noting that there were only three acknowledged contemporary Catholic prophets or seers at the time of Pope John the 23rd, the three children of Fatima. Did Pope John have them in mind when he condemned the prophets of doom? Regardless, this opening statement displays the agenda of Freemasonry. Prophets of doom are condemned. The world isn't getting worse, it's getting better. And John the 23rd says he sees, quote unquote, mankind as entering upon a new order. So really, look at how long ago that was. That was when he opened it up in 1962.
Wow, that's amazing.
So this
amazing.
Has been in the works a long time. That the, in fact, that's what they're showing. He shows in this in his book how John the 23rd and Pope was the next one, Pope Paul the 6th or something like that, was the one who ended up concluding Vatican II. Yeah, one opened it and the other one concluded it.
Yeah,
and he sees that as the as early infiltration into the church. And you know, the sad thing is they don't see that even before Vatican II, they were living under the prior council, which was the Council of Trent.
That was back
in the
1600s.
And that was much more, pardon my expression, but damnable than even Vatican II was.
Oh yeah.
And so these are the Trent guys versus the Vatican II guys, and they're all speaking the words of deception straight from the pit of hell.
Yeah, that's the whole basis of the Catholic religion, is right from the pit of hell. But here I have the audio about Fatima. Let's play that.
All right.
Natural apparition of a beautiful young lady. Almost 8 months had passed since the apparition of the angel. The children described the young lady as brighter than the sun, dressed in a white mantle edged with gold and holding a rosary in her hand. She asked the children to devote themselves to the Holy Trinity and to pray the rosary day in order to bring peace to the world. The little shepherds understood that this woman was the Virgin Mary. She asked them to come to the same place on every 13th day of each month, which they did, thus totaling the number of apparitions to 6 between the months of May and October of the year 1917. The Virgin Mary also entrusted 3 secrets to the children. The first secret was a vision of hell and the suffering of sinners. The second secret was a prediction of the end of the Great War and the beginning of another, unless people converted and repented. The Virgin Mary requested the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart. This secret was interpreted as a warning of the spreading of atheistic regimes, and indeed the communist revolution struck Russia on the same year as the apparitions. The third secret was a vision of the death of the Pope and of other religious figures. This latter secret was not disclosed to the public until the year 2000. It refers to the attempted murder of St. John Paul II. Later on, the Pope himself thanked Mary of Fatima for saving his life. The assassination attempt happened in Rome on May the 13th, 1981. Jacinta Pereiro Marto from Aljustrel, niece of Francisco and Jacinta, says that her father, Joao, was several times with his little siblings and cousin Lucia during the Marian apparitions.
My father was 2 years older than Francisco. My father had the honor of being there when the lady appeared at Bellino. This happened in August. My father was there but didn't see anything. There were only Francisco, Jacinta, and Lucia, and my father. But he said that, however much he opened his eyes, he couldn't see anything.
Lucia had a special role during the apparitions, as the Virgin spoke
only when Jacinta arrived, then the lady appeared.
Although they were accompanied by friends or siblings, only these three children saw the Virgin Mary during the apparitions. And during the last of them, the three little shepherds were surrounded by a crowd of 70,000 people who all saw the miracle of the sun. Soon after the apparitions, the Virgin Mary took to heaven their two smaller shepherds, just as she had promised them. Francisco Marto died at the age of 10 on April the 4th, 1919, and Jacinta died at the age of 9 in February of 1920. Lucia offered her life to the service of God and chose the consecrated life. She continued to report private visions throughout her life.
Oh dear.
Yeah, well, and see, that is if all Catholics are required to believe in the Fatima apparitions, that's those are what the Fide, the doctrines or whatever that they have to believe. And so there was, Taylor Marshall has a whole chapter on the Fatima apparitions. I think he has a couple of chapters in his infiltration book where supposedly the third secret was altered, and they wouldn't, that John the 23rd opened it like a year before that the apparition had said it was to be opened. It wasn't supposed to be open until 1960, and he opened it in 1959. And the conspiracy theory there is that he altered it or removed part of it so that when it was finally published in, early 70s, it wasn't the entire thing because it was talking about a bad pope.
Oh, well, yeah, you don't.
And that was supposed to write. And speaking of the bad pope, there was other. Have you? You're an ex-Catholic. Do you remember? She was a so-called prophetess that was born in 1774. This book is called Catholic of. Yeah, let's see. Eves DuPont, Catholic Prophecy: The Coming Chastisement. And this little book is a Catholic book, and it shows all these different prophecies and mystical transmissions that came from bona fide Catholic saints and mystics. Now this one I found very interesting. As I read this so-called prophecy that she gave, on May 13th, 1820, think of what is going on today when you think about who do we have? We have, not that I'm saying she's a true prophet, but maybe the devil is showing his hand. Because we think of Pope Francis, but the first pope to resign and to retire, Pope Benedict the 16th, and they're both alive and both living in Vatican City right now. And yeah. So this saint, or she's called Anna Katharina Emmerich, okay, and she bore the stigmata, okay, so we know what that means, right?
Well, maybe some people don't know what it means.
Well, the stigmata is these so-called mystics going into deep contemplation and then coming out with blood coming out of their hands and feet and side and even down their face as if they were wearing a crown of thorns. And it was a very dark thing that was kind of common in the Middle Ages with the mystics.
It was common recently with some so-called Pentecostals. Remember that Lucy Riel? I think she had that blood coming out of her hands. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Catholic Church acknowledges that that's a miraculous thing. And so anyone who's had the stigmata and dies, that's their certification to be a real saint. So they canonize them.
Yeah.
I almost said excommunicate. Now that's something else.
Well, it's but hard to believe this goes on. It's hard to believe.
Well, yeah. It's, well, I'm telling you that this is the spirit of the God of this world. This is, and you know what? He's pretty consistent over time with his, you know, his deceptions. I mean, starting in the Garden of Eden, you know, he offered the wisdom and the knowledge, and yeah, you'll be like God.
Yeah. Don't be wise in your own eyes, though. The Bible says, don't be wise in your own eyes.
Well, see, because we're supposed to, first of all, not think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but at the same time, we're not supposed to be ignorant of his schemes, and he does have an M.O. And so, you know, these Catholic saints regurgitate his M.O. all over the place. Well, he hears that prophecy, and just because a prophecy may come true or look like it's coming true or partially coming true doesn't make the person a true prophet, especially if they're directing you into the mother harlot, okay?
Especially.
I know. So here's what this stigmatist wrote. She says, I saw also the relationship between the two popes. I saw how baleful would be the consequences of this false church. I saw it increase in size. Heretics of every kind came into the city of Rome. The local clergy grew lukewarm, and I saw a great darkness. Then the vision seemed to extend on every side. Whole Catholic communities were being oppressed, harassed, confined, and deprived of their freedom. I saw many churches closed down, great miseries everywhere, wars and bloodshed. A wild and ignorant mob took to violent action, but it did not last long. This is another thing she said. Once more, I saw that the Church of Peter was undermined by a plan evolved by the secret sect, S-E-C-T, while storms were damaging it. But I saw also that help was coming when distress had reached its peak. I saw again the Blessed Virgin ascend on the church and spread her mantle over it. I saw a pope who was at once gentle and very firm. I saw a great renewal. And the church rose high in the sky. Okay. So she saw two popes and one bad, one good. And of course, we've talked about it earlier when we were talking about all of this, how they look to Mary and how church militants leader Michael Voris now, every time he does his Vortex, which is his daily news on about Catholic news, he has that statue of the Virgin Mary right behind him.
It's hard to believe. Michael, wake up there, Michael.
I know. He can see through so much of the darkness that he doesn't see how deep it goes.
There he's praying to Mary, oh, most wonderful, precious, sweet Virgin. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
But you know what? It's interesting that stigmatist said that there would be a reduction in the church and the church would, you know, pretty much start fading away. In this book, Infiltration, on the chapter Resistance to the Nova Ordo Missa, which is the new mass, his statistics are, some of them are 20 years old. But he showed this. Sunday mass attendance in 1958, 74% of Catholics went to mass. In the year 2000...
Well, you had to go, otherwise you committed a mortal sin and you went to hell.
Well, they still say that. Yeah, but he showed a statistic saying in the year 2000, only 25% of Catholics went to Sunday mass.
Wow.
Now, can I tell you why that is? Because unless we have been officially excommunicated and taken off the rolls, they still count us as Catholics, and we don't go. So therefore, we are Catholics because we still are on the baptismal rolls, and so we're still considered Catholics, and so only 25% go. You see?
Yeah. I see
here's an interesting one. In 1965, there were 338 annulments. You know, instead of a divorce, they annul that the marriage ever happened. And in 2002, there were about 50,000 annulments.
Oh, yeah.
So they got an increase on that. And some of these are really shocking. Like in 1965, there were 1,500 ordinations to the priesthood. And in 2002, there were only 450.
Yeah.
And so some of these other things, like, you know, how many seminarians in 1965? There were 49,000 enrolled seminarians.
Wow.
And in 2002, there were only 4,700. So you see,
wow,
there is a decline in the church. Now, okay, here's interesting, because I'm sure you probably went to parochial school. I did. I don't know if you did.
Yeah, I did. First, yeah,
first. What was the name of yours?
St. Michael's.
You were St. Michael's.
Every day we used to sing to St. Michael. The archangel.
Well, St. Michael.
We would stand in front of his statue and sing to him.
Well, he's not a saint. He's an angel. Don't they know the difference between a saint and an archangel?
No. St. Michael the archangel was the archangel.
Well, that's okay. I was
and
in
he
the...
had the world under his feet. And he had a sword
yeah, that's
in his
right.
hand.
Well, he had to shove Mary off
it. Was a pretty statue.
Didn't he have to shove Mary off the world, since they usually have her standing on it?
Well,
she got
I'm
in
sure,
the way. Shoved
I'm
her
sure
over.
She had more clout than him. Yeah, because she's always the one, too, standing on the world with the stars around her head. Yeah.
Well, here's the irony. My school was called St. Emedius. And St.
What's
Emedius,
that?
Yeah, he is the...
St. Emedius. I never heard of
Emedius,
that one.
Emedius. I don't know. I was always having to spell it. But St. Emedius was the patron saint of earthquakes. And I lived in Los Angeles, and this is in Los Angeles County where I grew up. And it's so funny because, was it after the Northridge earthquake? Anyway, he lost part of his extremities in this earthquake. So I didn't think he did us much good. He even lost his nose.
How did they explain that?
I don't know, but I wouldn't be praying him about earthquakes anymore. He kind of blew it there. And you know what? That Catholic church is still there. And you know, you wouldn't believe this. Well, it's kind of off topic, but they do 7 masses now every morning because they are overflown by the request for Spanish masses, because my entire town that I grew up in, it's Little Tijuana now. I mean,
well, that's one of the reasons they said they were letting all the people come from these countries, because they wanted to populate the Catholic Church, which now you're saying that, and they did.
I was born in Huntington Park. I was first 7 years was Southgate, and then until I got out of the house, it was Linwood. So these are, and every one of those, I had heard that even in front of the Southgate City Hall, they were flying the Mexican flag with alongside the American flag. Oh, but anyway, the reason I brought up the schools is because in 1965, the Catholic schools had 4.5 million students. And you know how many they have today? 1.9 million. They went from 4.5 to 1.9.
Yeah, well, my school is not even there anymore. They had to close it up finally. So no.
Well, mine
not,
is there, but you know,
no,
but no.
It's not there. I mean, as far as the schooling, it was a good school, and but there was a lot of crazy stuff going on, and so anyway. But I have some audio from Taylor Marshall. Let's hear Taylor Marshall.
All right.
Us together, and the fact that I'm a Sikh and somebody else is a different religion, to me doesn't matter.
Our work is indeed about social justice, which is rooted in
this is Ford Foundation.
The gospel, the idea that every person deserves to live in a just society.
Capitalism is at the heart of innovation that creates higher standard of living. And we know that it's been working, yet we also know we can do a lot better.
We need a new system focused on the well-being of people. It's a big challenge, but if it is done right, the benefits will be immense.
It's not just an asset owner. It's not just an asset manager. It's not just a CEO. It's not just these boards of directors. We have to work collectively over the long term.
So they're wanting us to join the movement. I don't understand. I mean, I'm going to address my words to Pope Francis. Pope Francis, I don't understand how you can, in this book, talk about why how we need to create a new economy and then buddy up with the richest, the, I don't want to say criminal, but the biggest and largest millionaire, billionaire, banker types of the world and push forward the agenda that you say you're pushing forward. It seems to me not to fit together. Help me understand that.
What I think capitalism has to stand for to be
Bank of America,
how we help everybody have equal access to the opportunity, have the economic mobility.
The council is a terrific body in which we can assemble a critical mass of companies to join and commit to concrete actions that not only affect and improve the communities in which we live, but affect the world community of which we're all a part of.
We believe we need...
Is anyone talking about... The only person who's actually talked too much about religion in this video was the Sikh. And that's a problem. Where's God in this?
More than 1,000 organizations on board, and only with this very purposeful collective action, we will see the systemic change across markets that will make capitalism truly inclusive.
We invite all business...
So this is her. This is Lynn. This is the right-hand lady of Pope Francis for this movement. Here she is.
This is large and small, and individuals to join us as stewards for inclusive capitalism by going to our website, agreeing the principles, and making your own commitments to inclusive capitalism. Please join us. Thank you.
Okay, there it is. So this is the new inclusive capitalism, joined by, and for those of you that are just joining us, Pope Francis has partnered with Lynn Rothschild, who you just saw on the screen there, and they've brought in the CEOs of MasterCard, Visa, Bank of America, Allianz, CalPERS, Merck, Johnson & Johnson, British Petroleum, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and so on and so forth. These CEOs have been named by this Vatican Council as, quote, guardians. They are guardians of inclusive capitalism. Now, let's take a look at who are these guardians that the Pope...
Yeah, inclusive capitalism.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, this is all part of that same agenda that the Humanist Manifesto, predicted and called for way back in the day. So now the Catholics are involved, the UNESCO is involved. As a matter of fact, the Humanist Manifesto, I think I was mentioning about talking about who signed for it, and this was, you know, a lot more. The problem is, now this was from 1973, the Humanist Manifesto number 2, and they talk about getting into education. Well, back then they started it in the colleges before they were able to, through the change agent agenda of the National Education Association, really pushed it through the Common Core curriculum in the grammar schools. But darters, it started at the university level. And the people who signed it were, I highlighted some of the universities that these professors are out of. And of course, USC is one, Yale, Columbia. Yeah. I mean, listen to this. I mean, and King's College, the University of London, these are huge places. Brooklyn College, University of Minnesota, Oregon State University, University of Hawaii, Temple University in Philadelphia, University of California, San Francisco, University of Pittsburgh, where my daughter graduated from, one of my daughters, University of Brussels, Belgium. Okay, well, that is the center of the EU. Okay.
Yeah, that's where the Beast computer used to be.
That's it. Yeah, that's right. University of Edinburgh, Scotland, Academy of Sciences, Moscow.
Wow.
Claremont Grad School, University of Michigan, Harvard, University of Belgrade in the then Yugoslavia, University of Chicago, State University of New York in Buffalo, Oxford in Britain, Ohio State, Emory, Queensborough College, everything, every place around the world, I'll sign these things. And of course, mainly this started really in America, it seems, because most of these people are American, even though it's spread elsewhere.
They did away with Common Core. I know that they had talked about doing away with it, but I don't know if DeVos ever did it.
I don't think they ever did it, because I saw it come up the other day, somebody promoting Common Core as if we have to continue with it, where I don't think it was ever officially removed, even though President Trump said that he was wanting to push a particular history book that reflected history that was favorable to America instead of tearing America down.
Yeah, but it looks like they've continued their agenda anyway. So if they didn't go ahead and do it, away with it, but you can see how it's affected these college students. And when you listen to people talk nowadays, and they're for the collective, you hear these words that these people in this initiative with the Rothschilds and the Pope, and collective, they use these buzzwords, which these are communist words, really. So, it's all coming together. It's very strange, let me tell you. Let's listen to, I have another clip here from that subject from Taylor Marshall.
Pope Francis has joined with Lynn Rothschild to assemble guardians of the new inclusive economy, inclusive capitalism, they're calling it. I find it alarming. We've basically seen the Pope partnership with the Rothschild, this Lynn Rothschild. I'll explain her in just a moment. She's a dear friend to Hillary Clinton, and she's the third wife of Evelyn Rothschild, who is the heir of the English Rothschild branch and is the financial advisor to Queen Elizabeth of England. Pope Francis and Lynn Rothschild have assembled a dream team of major economic leaders, CEOs. We're talking about the CEOs and leaders of MasterCard, Visa, both usurers, Bank of America, CalPERS, Merck, Johnson & Johnson, British Petroleum, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and on and on. I'm going to share who these people are. But reset, we've been using this language a lot. It's their language. It's not ours. A great reset into 2021. And this is the economic. And I'm going to run the video that they put out. This is the video that the Pope's Council put out. It features Cardinal Turkson. It features Lynn Rothschild. And they explain it. And what I found interesting, you'll see this when you watch it, what I found interesting is that they are linking religion with this new inclusive capitalism.
The fact that different religions need to come together on all matters is just the crying need of the times in our world.
Okay, so here we have a MasterCard CEO, and he's telling us that we must come together as all religions. This is part of the problem. This is part of the New World Order. This is why I've been saying ecumenism is the religious version of globalism. I'm going to piss up, and I'm going to let the man speak for himself. Everyone.
The fact that different religions need to come together on all matters is just the crying need of the times in our world. Faith cannot be used to pull us apart. Faith is meant to bring us together. And the fact that I'm a Sikh and somebody else is a different religion, to me, doesn't matter.
Our word. So the problem here is, he says faith draws us together. Well, that's true if we're the same faith. But if your faith, which let's say he mentions Islam, he's not a Muslim, he's a Sikh. If your faith says that Allah has no son, and my faith says that unless you believe in God the Son of God, you can't be saved, we have an impasse. We can't come together. You see, the faith of the...
Yeah. Very curious that they link the one world government with the one world religion. See, they're already talking about it.
Yeah, it's a new religion. It's the new humanism, which is a merger of the two. Isn't it interesting in that list that he mentioned of the other companies that have supported this? One of them was Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, who's putting out the vaccine with the aborted baby in it.
And you know what else is really sad? My retirement organization was in there. CalPERS, he called it CalPERS. It's not CalPERS, it's CalPERS. It stands for California, and it's that, you know, the Cal. And that's the educational retirement system. That's mine and my late husband's retirement. That's
They're concerned too about the health of humanity. If you're so concerned about the health of humanity, then you can stop genetically modifying pigs and using GMOs in the food and putting out these medicines that can hurt people. It's diabolical. It's so diabolical. But yeah, it's very seductive to the average person that's really hurting right now. And this is a time when people are so vulnerable.
And maybe they want it that way. Maybe they haven't used this virus to impoverish those that were already struggling to stay alive so that they could gain some sort of sympathy. And then you've got riots going on all around the world. And so they've created this massive global hysteria, which is just ripe for the debut of the Antichrist to come on the scene and solve it all.
It seems like that's the direction it's going. And it's hard to believe that it's happening in our lifetime and right before our eyes. We can see the handwriting on the wall. It's so obvious what's happening. And so it's so important for people to really stay close to the Lord right now and in his word, because we're going to see how deceived people, we can already see how deceived people are believing this stuff and they're falling for it.
I know. And deception is at its worst. And the apostasy in the church is just hard to even fathom. You know, it's just in your face. People can't find a decent church to go to right now. And so yet the ones that are swarming to these big churches are having the entertainers up there just putting on a show.
taking PPP money, which I'm going to do a show probably next week about the payroll protection plan, taking multiple millions of dollars, over $78 million that these churches took. And who did they really help? What did they really do?
Well, they helped these televangelists put another jet.
Yeah, they were buying jets. Mac Hammond bought two jets. And Marcus Lamb bought a jet, but he said he didn't use PPP money. There was Inside Edition investigation that they did, but he paid the money back, you know, but he had no intention of paying it back until these reporters kind of outed him. But yeah, so if these people that profess to be Christians and they profess to love everybody and they can't help people, you think that these globalists are going to help people? These people that are of the devil.
And Marcus Lamb probably was able to use his own money to buy his plane because he got this other money. But, you know, he had that in two different accounts, you know, or something, you know, because
he got a better jet when he got that extra $4 million. He said, well, I've got this money. Mm-hmm. And he cons people all the time. He's always conning people. But yeah, J-Star is worth $1 billion. Yet you have to take money from the taxpayers and for hurting people. That's it. What did they do? How many people did they provide homes for during this time, where they provided the met their needs so they could pay their bills or whatever. No, they weren't doing it. They were all making themselves fat and buying extra things for themselves and trying to grow their own industry. But
and
I've got news for them. Yeah, TBN took $5 million, I think. Joyce Meyer took $5 million. Like, she needs it.
And they just built a multi-million dollar resort in the Colorado Rockies, calling it a studio. When have you seen it? It looks like it's fancier than the Taj Mahal.
I saw it. Yeah, it's big. So give me a break. So I don't care what these people say, Pope, whoever, and Lynn Rothschild and all these head CEOs, oh, we're gonna help the world. We're going to be inclusive. They're not going to do nothing except try to figure out ways where they can get richer. And that's going to be about it. We're seeing the same thing with our own government when they're rolling out these vaccines that they don't even know if they're going to hurt people. And they care about people's health? No. They care about the fact that they're going to make big money from these vaccines. Everybody's got their own financial interests. So hopefully true Christians that really love the Lord care about people and have some compassion for people. And we don't go around taking millions of dollars and then buying bigger and better studios and jets and whatever else they were buying. I'd love to know how much money they really spent on paying salaries out of all these millions of dollars that they took.
Well, and these Christian networks are known to be paying a fraction of what people could be making in the secular world. And they say,
you have to volunteer.
And they use volunteers. Yeah, slave labor. Yeah. And then they don't pay their employees except for the inner circle, high ones.
That's probably why they needed all those millions so they could pay Joel Osteen's salary. He took, I don't know how many millions. Like, he needs the money too, Joel Osteen. So they said they had to pay salaries. Yeah, I'm sure. They had to pay their own salaries because I don't know what they pay their staff. That's for sure. And how far does $5 million go? It could go pretty far in paying salaries. I mean, what's their budget? How much do you pay every year in salaries? These people love to talk about everything they're going to do, and we're going to help mankind. We're going to bring everybody together, and everybody's going to get along. And we're going to take all your jobs away from you. We're going to lock you up in your house forever. And we're going to make you dependent on us.
I know. And they're destroying the small businesses, wholesale. Because, they want the big rulers to take over all the business.
They want the big rulers. And you could see that. What are the churches doing to help people keep their businesses? And so they had this millionaire CEO on last night saying he's going to help because he said nobody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it. Now, that was a pretty sad commentary on the church, is that he'll get up there and say, I'm going to raise millions of dollars, and I already raised $1 million last night just from one appearance on Tucker Carlson's show, and we're going to help people make their payroll until they can get back on their feet. So, well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Yeah,
it's an embarrassment to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way these people behave.
And they're also the same ones that have followed Billy Graham's example, and they're just,
hooray. You can see that the whole thing has come together where he in his latter years came out basically as a humanist, as a secular humanist, to make a statement like that. And going along with the Catholic Church making the same statement. And so it's no wonder why when he'd have his crusades, he'd send people back to the Catholic Church. So he was working with the Catholic Church. So it's very shocking. And we just have to be on our toes in the days and the years. Who knows how much longer we're going to be around here to see what's going on. I'm sure so many of us are saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and get us out of this insane asylum that is getting more obvious by the day.
Yeah. And Jesus has a word to any of those that are in these churches, and especially the Catholic Church. He says, come out of her, my people, before you partake of her plagues. You
know,
which are about to, about to come about.
That's it, because they're the biggest hypocrites going. Oh, yeah, we used to have a poor box in our church. Now, the little church that we went to, it was, we did have a good Monsignor, I have to say that. They were generous and to the poor, whatever. But they had the poor box. But yet, the Catholic Church, when you think of it, who's richer than them? Nobody. Because you could think in your own community, and even in my county, which is a county of about 250,000 people, there's about 8 Catholic churches just in this community. So that's millions of dollars in real estate. So you could take, if you would add up all their real estate holdings all over the world, that would have to be billions upon billions. So who's richer than the Catholic Church? Nobody. And yet, that's a poor.
All their altars and the so-called sacramental things on the altar are all made of pure gold.
Made out of gold, yeah, with encrusted jewels. Yeah. And even their vestments, like some of those vestments that the Pope makes, I mean, that's no joke. Those things are expensive. But yet they want to tell you that he gave up his Mercedes Pope Mobile and he drives a Fiat or something. Don't believe it. And he's got they showed a picture on the internet of his little apartment at the Vatican. Don't believe it. It's got 11,000 rooms. It's full of magnificent paintings and marble and every kind of riches you could imagine. Yet they want to tell you, oh, he's such a humble man. But they're setting you up. They're setting you up for the Antichrist. The Antichrist, everybody's going to flock to him. He's going to be so wonderful. And he's going to help you.
Yeah, and not only that, he may arrive in a flying saucer. I mean, they're preparing for that, too.
Yeah,
the entities just want to help us. And the more we get into nuclear arms development, the more anxious they're getting. And so that's why the sightings of these luminaries in the sky are showing up. They're really not looking like anything with nuts and bolts. They're all just looking like lights and, you know, and there's some psychics that can just make them appear in the sky just by the power of their own minds, even.
They don't need nuclear weapons. All they need is a virus to shut down the world. Which has become very obvious to me. They don't need a gun. They don't need any nuclear weapon. Oh, no. We've seen the world, practically the whole world, brought to their knees over this virus that was supposed to, after they put everybody in the first lockdown, which I thought was a good idea in the beginning because I figured, well, we'll conquer it.
Yeah, in 2 weeks. It would only take 2 weeks. Yeah.
Because they used to quarantine people back when they had measles and things. And so you think, well, okay, we'll get a handle on it. But they can't get a handle on it. How are you going to get a handle on a virus that anybody could spread?
It's too fiendish. It's too big and it's too fiendish not to have been, part of it influenced by the spirit of Antichrist.
Of course, and now it's got like 17 mutations, so it keeps mutating, and so it's a sign of the times. It's a big wake-up call for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we just have to be on our guard, and we have to recognize the signs of the times, and don't fall for these religious leaders and these politicians that are going to promise you the world, because they're corrupt. Jesus is the best. He said, I've got a government. I like his government just fine. And so I'm sticking with him. And these other people, forget it. They're going to disappoint you every time. But anyway, we're coming to the end of our time here. But Jackie, that's a great program as usual. So interesting. And we'll have to see what happens in the days ahead with this inclusive capitalism. Oh.
Well, people have to be on their guard. Be on your guard. There's a snare.
She talks in circles, that lady. I don't even know what she was talking about. It doesn't make any sense. Did it make sense to you?
Well, not entirely, because it's a lot of double.
Yeah, it's a lot of double talk.
Yeah.
And they're using those buzzwords.
Yeah. They're signaling.
They're signaling, exactly. And so I didn't know really what to make of her, because I was trying. I listened to a couple of her videos, and you could see her videos, Lynn the Rothschild, and you can look at some of the things she's talking about. She does go around and she does these speaking engagements on this inclusive capitalism, but I couldn't make out. I was trying to understand in totality what she was saying, but like you said, it's a lot of doublespeak, and they're doing this signaling, and when they start using these communist terms, when we can see what's ahead of us, but we have to put our trust in God. He's the only one that can deliver us from all of this and keep us strong to get through the things that we may have to go through. Who knows? You know, we just don't know what's up ahead. But anyway, how can people reach you, Jackie, if they want to find you?
Well, you can find me on my Facebook page. Just look up my name on Facebook and send me a friend request. However, I do screen those that ask, you know, because I get so many fake things coming through, like people who, you know, look like military people with no history on their threads. They don't have anything there.
I don't know who they are. I don't friend them. No.
No. So I have to screen them. So if you can't see by looking at your profile like what you're all about, then you might get overlooked. But most of you who are legitimate, it would be obvious to me that you're true people and not spam coming through. But and the other place, of course, is, in fact, I'm trying to do an article on this. I hope I can get this thing done pretty quick, but it's so intense and everything.
Yeah,
but
it
would be on christiansentinel.com. And when you go to christiansentinel.com, sign up. There's a sign up form on the right hand side so that you can be on my list of emails that go out. Once a month, I update what's going on for that month. And so do sign up for that, especially if we all get thrown off of social media, we'll have that connection.
Yeah, exactly. Because we don't know how long we're going to be on social media. And quite frankly, I'm sick of the whole bunch of them. And I'll take advantage of it while I can. But I don't like all this censorship. They're going to tell you what to think, what you can look at, what you can say. And no, I don't like it. But also your YouTube channel.
Yes, yes. I'm working on this for my YouTube channel too, in conjunction with the article I'm writing. And, you know, we have to all watch out for each other because we're all in this together.
Well, that's it. We do. And really, let God use you in these end times. Everybody's got a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And use the talents that the Lord's giving you to help the body of Christ, because we need all the help we can get right now. Everything that we knew is being shaken. And I don't know if it's ever going to be like it was, as far as our lives, if we're ever going to be normal the way things were normal, you know. But we'll get through it.
Yeah, we'll the new normal, we call it.
Yeah, it is the new normal. And but I still yearn for the old days, you know.
Yeah.
I think to myself, I don't know how long this is going to go on. It could go on for a very long time. So we just have to try to get through it and depend on God. And he will see us through. Okay, Jackie, thank you so much. Great program.
My pleasure.
All right,
okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, that's our program for today. I want to thank everybody for stopping by in the chat room. And amen. Don't forget to stay close to the Lord, no matter what you're going through today. And I know some people have lost their jobs, they've lost their businesses, and you've lost relatives even from this plague that we have. And we need all the hope that we and help we can get. So God bless you, and I pray that the Lord will see you through everything that you're going through at this time.
But the most important thing is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know where you're going when you die? Have you asked God to forgive you of your sins? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some people say, well, I don't sin. I'm a good person. Well, no. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And we've all sinned. And we all need a Savior. That's why Jesus came, to save us. And he said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And Romans 10:10 says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So we must confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So I know how I got saved, and I got down on my knees one night, and I asked the Lord to come into my life and to forgive me. And he did. He changed me just overnight. The next day, I was a different person. It was a miracle. It was a real miracle. But only God can do that. Only God can do it, and he can do it for you. No matter what you've done or where you've been, he can give you a brand new life. Amen. All right, everybody, that's it for today. God bless you. We'll see you next week. My